This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Ball's laying there. Flat on the ground. And a one-step kick. There's Santos. Rips it right. Ball moves, and it is on the ground. Recovered by the Bears, it appears.
Yep.
Did it go 10?
It touched the Viking.
All right. Bears have come up with it. Oh, my goodness. Tarvarius Moore, number 30, recovers the onside kick. 21 seconds to play in the game. Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Good to see the Bears get into the end zone. Good to see them force overtime after trailing by a couple of scores, 14 points in the third quarter. Ultimately, though, not taking advantage of winning the coin toss in OT and scoring a touchdown to end it before you give the ball back to the Vikings. So falling to 4-7 after that three-point loss. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jeff Joniak with the call on the Bears Radio Network. And we're pleased to head to Chicago this early morning. AM 670, The Score. Morning host David Haw is joining us. Ultimately, David, and good morning to you. What's the difference in this game?
Good morning, Amy. The difference in this game was that the Bears were unable to overcome their streak of bad luck, which includes a share of bad decisions. The difference in this game was that the Bears' defense couldn't stop the Vikings, ultimately, and the best unit on their team, supposedly, failed to live up to expectations. And the difference in this game was that Caleb Williams could only do so much and could not save this team, and this season can't be saved. This was the third time in the midst of this five-game losing streak that the Bears have lost a game on the final play. Think about that.
It's interesting, too, because Caleb Williams says that's encouraging, the fact that they were able to come back and they were able to force overtime and fight to the end so that they did have an opportunity. But I guess if you're looking at it from the other way around, it could be disheartening. So is there any reason for hope in there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Caleb Williams can say that and not be wrong, because he is here for the long haul. He is here for the duration. And in the context of his quarterback development, yeah, he's right. It was very encouraging. He handled Brian Flores' blitz. He set a new rookie season passing record. He elevated the play of his teammates around him, unlike what's supposed to happen with rookie quarterbacks, and the teammates lift him to a certain level. Caleb Williams is exactly right. The quarterback position is in very good hands in Chicago, and that alone is encouraging, and it's very rare. The other part of it is that he's also new here, so he can say those things without the scar tissue that everyone else walks around with. And when you see the decline and demise of this season under Matt Eberflus, year three, it reminds you so much of the final year of Mark Trestman, the final year of John Fox, the final year of Matt Nagy, and it's all too familiar under the George McCaskey regime. And so it's not encouraging at all. It's all too familiar. It's discouraging and dysfunctional, and it's begging for change.
David Haw is with us from Chicago in advance of his morning show on our affiliate there, AM 670, The Score. Okay, so I don't want to put words in your mouth, but as you emphasize final year, final year, final year, does that mean you think this is the final year for Matt Eberflus?
Well, I think to argue anything else would be folly, and it'd be probably the only person arguing that would be Eberflus's representatives or himself. And And this is not a personal vendetta against a head coach, and nobody's saying that he's not a good guy. But there comes a point in everybody's tenure that I think there's a realization that you're best to move on. And barring a football miracle, which would have to happen over the remaining six games, they would have to probably win out to save his job. I think 4-7 is not good enough, and it's not trending in the right direction. So it's not necessarily going out on a limb, and you certainly don't feel like I'm on an island by suggesting that they're veering toward change, significant change with the coaching staff. Because, Amy, this isn't a team that came into the season absent expectations. So everybody called this Bears team a playoff contender, and there were hopes that were legitimate because of a top five defense and for other factors. And they failed to meet those expectations, and now they're in the midst of a five-game losing streak. That's not the way to prove that you should keep your job.
I think you're right that most people do expect that Eberflus will be let go at the end of the season, if not before. So I don't want to deliver a eulogy completely, but why do you think it hasn't worked?
I think that overall, a combination of things. Roster-wise, they haven't done a good job of assembling an offensive line that you trust, and that's on Ryan Poles. Defensively, the interior has been weaker than expected and lacking depth. So those are maybe the roster configuration issues. From a coaching perspective, I think there have been too many in-game decisions that have been questionable, and there are too many late-game decisions that have been the wrong choices. He's now you look at his record in one score games. I think it's 5-18 now, and that's just if that were even halfway different, or if he had half of those games that went in the Bears' favor, you might look at it a different way. But there's just not that consistency with the decision making. He saved his job last year by being an elite defensive play caller and taking over as defensive coordinator. And now after yesterday, he's no longer deserving of that label either. The Vikings average 7 yards per play. So he can't save his job by being the play caller. The head coach should probably fire the defensive coordinator. But I don't know if the defensive coordinator is going to be around because the head coach is going to be gone. So it's a vicious cycle in Chicago. But Matt Eberflus, good guy, but probably not ever going to be known as a good head coach just because the numbers aren't in his favor.
What do they need? Should they move forward and fire Eberflus? What do they need as a head coach?
Well, I think that, you know, that will be the debate in Chicago, but I think the easy answer is you need somebody who's going to be able to work and grow with Caleb Williams, and he's a franchise quarterback. Now, he struggled over a three-game stretch, and there are questions that were legitimate, but anybody that watches Caleb Williams on a consistent basis as we watch every move in Chicago, he's special. He has a special arm talent. He's now developing a knack for late fourth quarter drives, finishing them. That'll only build confidence. So the next head coach has got to be able to keep that unlocked and have him reach his potential and have him elevate the play of his teammates the way he did yesterday. Now the counter to that, and it's not so much a counter as a different component. You know, the Bears have struggled with Matt Eberflus, probably in the leadership position. He doesn't really project as a guy who players love him, but he doesn't always have the right answers at the podium. Not that that's necessarily important, but leadership is a broad term that covers a lot of different things. And the Bears' next leader should not only be a leader of men, but be able to communicate the message in a strong, simple way that projects like everything's going to be okay. And it almost projects power. And I just don't think that's Matt Eberflus's thing. So that'll be the debate. If they could find somebody that could accomplish both of those things, that would be ideal. They had a chance to do that last offseason. They passed on Jim Harbaugh. And for reasons that only Ryan Poles and the McCaskies probably understand, Jim Harbaugh took the Chargers job and was not pursued by the Bears, the team that drafted him. That's always going to be a mark against Ryan Poles, which is why, as I wrote on 670score.com, I'm just not sure where the change will stop. Will it stop with the head coach? Will it extend to the general manager's office? Let's wait and see in about 6 weeks.
David Haw is with us from Chicago. Certainly a lot to talk about with the Bears. I have to say this, though. I have been really impressed with the way that Caleb Williams stepped in immediately. And he wasn't a kid, right? He embraced this as a job. He's been professional. Feel like he is very well prepared, even if it doesn't always look the way that he would like it. And he has high expectations for himself and for the team. So in those respects, in those aspects, I've been impressed with him.
There's no doubt. It's hard not to be. And I think the decline over the three-game stretch that people started to question those things nationally, it got very loud, were kind of premature. You know, you look at this kid, and he's no kid. He's 23 with an easy confidence, and he's got the understanding of the gravity of the position in a city like Chicago. He knows what that's like to be the quarterback of the Bears because he came to the NFL already a star, already mm-hmm. having sort of lived that lifestyle in L.A. at USC and been, you know, the number one recruit at Oklahoma. All these kinds of things prepared him well, and he's getting better. And he's certainly unafraid, and that confidence is contagious. So I'm with you. With the next coach will probably say, you know, the Bears' job is one of, people will criticize the ownership and all the things that are valid. But the next job, I think, will be very attractive because number 18 is going to be here for a very long time.
We've talked about the coaching staff and that there's likely turnover coming. What would you say are the top three on-field priorities for the upcoming offseason?
Great question. You need to prioritize the offensive line. That, even though yesterday they only gave up three sacks to the Vikings, that has been a season-long and really a 10-year-long problem for the Bears. Never really got to the point where that's consistent. Secondly, I think the depth of the defensive line. You know, you saw the Bears unable to stop the run at key times, and now they've stopped getting to the quarterback. And a lot of that starts up front. So the negligence of the interior and the ability to grasp how important it is to control the line of scrimmage has been the Bears' bugaboo. So I would say offensive line, defensive front. Mm-hmm. And then at some point in time, I think that you're going to have to get another edge rusher. Because offensively, I think the weaponry is sufficient. You know, you've got receivers, and you might lose Keenan Allen, but you're going to have Caleb Williams. Defensively, the secondary came in as the strength of this team. So I would think that after offensive and defensive line, you could make the argument that a real difference-making linebacker has been a problem for the Bears. I know they spent a lot on Tremaine Edmonds. He's not had a great season. T.J. Edwards is a tackle machine. They could really use a guy in there to kind of liven things up. So I think that would probably be my priority list.
Change on the horizon for the Bears, but they are the only team in the NFC North that is below 500. And for a while there, they were above 500 too. What are your impressions of this North division, David?
Surprisingly, maybe the best in football. And I think the Bears may have a drag for everybody down, but you know, the Lions look like a Super Bowl team. They just keep doing everything right, and they're learning how to win. And they certainly already they learned how to win last year. This year, they're proving how good they are. The Vikings, you have to give them credit because Kevin O'Connell is an elite play caller. He won the chess match yesterday against Matt Eberflus, and Sam Darnold could be as resurgent of a player, a comeback player of the year type of season in Minnesota. And that defense it travels well. And the Packers, boy, don't discount the Packers. You give a lot of credit to Matt LaFleur. They took care of business. I know the 49ers were injured, but that's a very good team, and Jordan Love is coming into his own. It didn't already start to happen last year.
Right.
That defense as well. Amy, the thing that's been surprising to me in that division is that the Bears came in full of defense and confidence and thought that their unit was as good as it gets in terms of the division. And they probably have arguably maybe the third best defense, and you can, depending on the day. But their defense is no longer the best in the division because Green Bay and Minnesota have taken that, they've really made it a priority to get better on defense, and you can see the results.
At any point, are Bears fans allowed to root for the Lions just because they're such a great story? They're the maybe sentimental favorite, or is that an absolute no-no with these rivalries in the North?
I would think no. I mean, I would think that I could understand why somebody could support Dan Campbell. What's not to like? And that's what I'm talking about that they miss, the power of the personality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the way that he wills his team and the way that he lets it all hang out. I mean, that's if if you love football, if you love sports, I mean, you love to see that. So I could understand maybe this would be a Lion exemption this year because there's nothing else to root for in Chicago, Amy. I don't know if you noticed, but the sports around here pretty
much stink
right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the records that the White Sox were setting were the wrong kind, dubious, fateful records. It's certainly, there's no place to go but up. How about that? Can I give you like a hopeful umbrella? No place to go but up.
Thank you so much, Amy. I am thankful this week that we have nowhere to go but up in Chicago.
It is Thanksgiving, you know.
Yes, we're grateful for opportunity.
Oh, goodness. So much to talk about, though, which I got to say is good for our business sometimes, actually, when the teams are not in great positions.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, the Bears are bad, but they're not boring. There's no doubt about that. So they definitely deliver that way.
I think it might be worse to be boring than bad, actually, especially when you're talking about sports.
The Bears may not deliver on Sunday afternoon, but they certainly do on Monday morning.
Oh, terrific. That's good. And on that note, you want to make sure you catch Mully and Haw on our Chicago affiliate AM 670 The Score, also on the Odyssey app, and you can find him online at David Haw, H-A-U-G-H. One of our favorites. Love to hear from you. Thanks so much for connecting. We don't have to wait until the sports are better to have you on the show again, but that would be fun, I suppose.
Yeah, I hope so. Happy Thanksgiving, Amy. Thanks anytime.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, David.